Peterson is taking care of things right now.
To Wesley Fields. Touchdown. Georgia Southern.
Pass swings on the way. It's gone! It is well with my stolen Montgomery! Georgia Southern wins!
Welcome to Georgia Southern Extra. I'm your host, Nathan Dominitz, the sports editor of the Savannah Morning News and SavannahNow.com. Georgia Southern Extra, we talk about Georgia Southern athletics. And here on Tuesday, November 30th, we're going to recap the football season, kind of a season to forget, or maybe the start of something much bigger. Depends on perspective, I guess. Our guest tonight, or today, is Mike Brown. Mike's been on the show a few times now. Mike has covered Georgia Southern for various media outlets for, well, many, many years. Mike, how long have you been covering Georgia Southern?
Since actually 2001, I covered my first game for them, Paul Johnson's last year. So I've seen every coach since Johnson.
Okay. Well, then you're the perfect person to have, because we're going to talk about the new coach, Clay Helton, and how he kind of fits into the style of coaching and background of coaches that they've had. He's the 11th coach in their modern history since Irk Russell. And we'll talk about Clay Helton, but we want to wrap up the season. Georgia Southern finished, they played Saturday against their biggest rival, Appalachian State, lost in Boone, North Carolina, 27-3. And that was actually the spread, about 24.5 points, but it wasn't a typical 24-3 game in the sense that it was pretty close until pretty tight. Until some big plays by the Mountaineers in the third and beginning of the fourth quarter pulled away. Suddenly a seven-point game became a 21 and then a 24-point game. They finished 3-9, 2-6 in the Sun Belt Conference, one of their worst records in years. Wasn't anything close to the expectation, unless I guess you look at it from well, the quarterback situation never really got settled the way they wanted it anyway. And that's such an important position. Everything kind of spins from there. Mike Brown, what did you think of the 3-9 season? And remember, we don't have all day, because it was a lot of stuff had happened this year.
Well, obviously, it was very disappointing. There's no question about that, because the standard is very high at Georgia Southern. And I think, well, you just mentioned it, the quarterback situation, which is so important for any team, but especially over the years at Georgia Southern, due to the offense and so forth, it just never got settled. When Tomlin had to miss the first two games, and then you've got Amari Jones in there playing, and then a freshman, Ransom, it just never... They just never got in sync, or I felt that way.
Yeah, and Tomlin was the only quarterback on the roster with college quarterbacking experience. He had to sit out two games for academic issues. They, as you mentioned, they had to start. Well, they technically started Amari Jones, who was a transfer from Tulane, who was brought in to be a running back, wide receiver, slot back, kick returner, and he played high school quarterback in Frisco, Texas, in high school. So he was kind of the most mature person to handle those first game jitters. And Cam Ransom came in, gave everybody a lot of hope. He threw a touchdown on his first college pass. He started the second game against Florida Atlantic. That game quickly got away from them after he got hurt. Sam Kenderson played a few downs at least. And Jones got banged up. And then Tomlin came back for the third game at Arkansas, ranked, I think, number 20 at the time. And they shot up to the top 10 for a little bit, but definitely not exactly the way you want to get any rust off against a very hot team. And then Tomlin, and he's a redshirt junior. He's been really solid as far as coming off the bench or filling in a spot duty when Shai Wirtz was out. But as far as handing the keys as your franchise quarterback, he didn't really, and it may not be all on him, of course, the whole team around him, but he didn't really perform at a high enough level, I guess you could say, to kind of carry any kind of burden. He was okay, but when you have the defense having their issues and the offense having their issues, you need the quarterback to be a playmaker. And I don't remember, he had one play against Arkansas memorably, but I don't remember him being like an all-conference first, second, third team honorable mention kind of quarterback this year.
Georgia Southern quarterbacks, since I've been watching them, have typically, I mean, they've been game breakers. Gosh, you look at Jason Foster. I'm just pulling names out of the air now. Chaz Williams, who was the first quarterback I really covered, because I covered him his entire career. Oh, that guy was just a stud. And of course, Greg Hill was great. And I didn't see Tracy Hamm play, but I saw Greg Hill his senior year, and then Chaz and the guys that came after that, and particularly the option quarterbacks, when J-Bo Shaw, they when it came crunch time, that guy made the play. I mean, everyone had confidence that J-Bo's going to do this, or Chaz is going to get the 2 yards or whatever. And even with Shy Wirtz also. Shy Wirtz could break it on any play. I never felt these guys this year, you could, if it's 3rd and 6, you know, I didn't sit there and think, okay, yeah, he's going to get it.
No, they're pretty hamstrung. And even interim coach Kevin Whitley said, we can't be passing on downs when they know we have to pass. We're just not up to that. We have to pass when they don't expect us to pass, and they're expecting us to run most of the time. So, they did not have a complementary offense, a rushing game and passing game. They didn't really establish a go-to guy on offense as far as a receiver. Caleb Hood, I think, caught the most passes this year and in a while, but they didn't have, they could have, the tight end, J.J. McAfee, Derwin Burgess had a breakout game, but it was, they were waiting on it for a while, and he's a true freshman. They didn't have, like I said, game breakers, playmakers, and the running backs were the strength of the team, and they got hurt a lot, but they always had somebody dangerous at running back, but they didn't have the whole package wasn't there. They weren't in sync. Aside from the Arkansas State game when Logan Wright ran for over 200 yards, they didn't have that too many of those moments where they could say, "We're a running team and we're just going to run it down people's throats." And they weren't up to it. And like you said, 3rd and 6 is tough for any team, but when you're not really adept at throwing the ball, makes it tough.
There's no question about it. And like I said, that offense never got in sync. It was never had that balance. Look, the quarterbacks that I've seen at Georgia Southern, none of them, I won't say none of them, but most of them, particularly option quarterbacks, have not been a passing threat. But it seemed like they could always get that completion when they needed it. And with me, when I watch Georgia Southern, to me, I'm looking at that quarterback. That's the way it's been since I've been following them for 20 years. And he's the guy that sets the tempo. He's the leader. And I don't know that they had that. And of course, the kids after Tomlin, I mean, they didn't have the experience.
Yeah. One could say that Shy Wirtz made up for a lot of ills, whether you want to call it a broken play or that special play. When your quarterback is one of the fastest guys, if not the fastest guy or quickest guy on the field, he can make things happen. And I know he scared a lot of defensive coordinators. We talked about that while he was still here. For those that don't know, Shy Wirtz was a 4-year starter. He had that extra year of eligibility with COVID year, and he chose to go to Louisville and work on becoming a wide receiver to better his professional prospects. Because he knew that at Georgia Southern, he was either going to be the quarterback and holding somebody back, the next evolution of quarterbacks, or he was at wide receiver. He wasn't going to get many looks. So Louisville worked out not only for him, but transition here. Kendrick Duncan, one of the top safeties. Last 2020, he was hurt a good bit of the time, so maybe people didn't realize how valuable he was. But I think, and Mike and I were talking about this yesterday, I think he's having a good year at Louisville and showing that he's a frontline starter and would have been a great part of a defense, especially a defensive secondary that was depleted basically since game two when they lost Derek Canteen, who was their shutdown corner, All-American hopeful or potential All-American candidate at cornerback, and basically lost him for the year in the second game. So I had written that the App State game was kind of the season in a nutshell. The team played hard. There's no question about that. They didn't point fingers. They didn't. They gave the effort, but they were injured. They were shorthanded before the game started. They were less experienced. You could say less talented, less experienced than the opposition. App State has all conference players all over the field. They have a quarterback that's a grad student who had played at Clemson and Duke, Chase Bryce. Georgia Southern's quarterback, on the other hand, is just getting started. Connor Sigalski, a redshirt freshman, did not play at all last year, did not play at all this year until the week before against number 14, now number 12, BYU. So that's a heck of a way to make your college debut, is against BYU and at App State. And Connor Sigalski was solid, but I don't think he scared the App State defense that they had to game plan around him too much.
That was it. And when Shy was here, and I think there were some folks, all of us, got an idea this year just how valuable Shy Wirtz was. And Shy, he's one of four Georgia Southern quarterbacks to have passed and ran for 3,000 yards. So he had a really good, solid career here. And he put every defensive coordinator on alert. Didn't have that this year.
No. And then they had the offensive line eventually had some injuries. They had started, I don't know exactly how many, but they were one unit, the only unit that really had consistency. And then they started having breakdowns. And then, of course, like I said, everybody else has been hurt. I think the defensive line, of course, they lost Gavin Adcock through his own devices during the season. But they basically had to play two true freshmen at inside linebacker in Eldrick Robbins in the second and Michael Edwards the third, after injuries to the people they expected to play. And the defensive secondary, like I said, was hurt. Everybody was hurt in the defensive secondary this year. I think people that didn't even play got hurt. So to sum up the first half of the podcast here, Georgia Southern is about to start their third coach, which we'll talk about in the second half of the show. They started the season with Chad Lunsford, who was starting his fourth season in full. He got fired after a 1-3 start. Kevin Whitley, who was in his third season as cornerbacks coach, became the interim coach for the eight games. And when Clay Helton got hired on November 2nd, he had been fired at Southern Cal after two games. So he definitely could commiserate with a coach getting fired before the season really got going, too much into the season anyway. He came on board, but he said, I'm going to allow these guys, these coaches, I'm going to respect them and honor what they've done here. I'm going to let them finish out the season. I'm going to be worrying about getting my program established. I'm going to evaluate players and coaches. I'm going to hit the recruiting trail hard, and which he's done, and I'm going to set up shop so that the day after the season ends, that I'll be the head coach and we're off and running, because early signing day is December 15th. It's not much. The whole year is a condensed into in a sense for Georgia Southern, because the season is over and now they've got to get going. 2022 season doesn't start for almost 9 months, I guess, but they've got to get going. They've got to get ahead. And Mike, what? So in your final words, I guess, looking at the season, what things are you going to remember about 2021?
Well, the injuries. Yeah. Obviously, there's Chad Lunsford getting fired four games in, and the thing that probably impressed me about these kids, forget the record. I mean, it was just a lost year. But I was really impressed with the way Kevin Whitley held everything together and how Kevin Whitley grew as a coach, in my opinion. Boy, when he started, I mean, he was like a deer in the headlights that first press conference after that first game, because he'd been a high school coach and as an assistant, he'd never had to deal with the media. And boy, like the last press conference, this guy was polished, so to speak. Yeah. But those kids played hard for him and the other coaches. The coaching staff, and I know Kevin's the only one that's they retained, but it's a credit to the coaching staff and those players that they continue play hard. And they really got decimated by injuries in the secondary. But there was a lot of young kids got playing experience this year. They're going to come back and be solid. So I think if they plug a few holes, which I think it can do through recruiting and the transfer portal, I think Clay Helton, you know, they're looking at a good year next year. Put that team on right now.
There's a lot to talk about in terms of next year. With changes in the rest of the league too, we're gonna talk with Mike Brown, longtime Georgia Southern beat reporter for many media outlets in Southeast Georgia, including the Savannah Morning News, the Statesboro Herald, the Macon Daily Telegraph, maybe the Associated Press. I'm probably missing some in there.
Well, let's see. The Statesboro Herald, Macon, the AP, and the Savannah Morning News. I've done stuff for all. I can't hold a job anywhere. No. but I've been blessed and fortunate at those media.
Mike is retired sports editor, and he's just doing all this out of the goodness of his heart because it's not for the money. And such as being on this show, which I brought up as a recurring theme. But we're going to be right back with Mike in the second half of the show. But I want to, before we bring back Mike Brown, I want to plug the best source for local news in Savannah, the Savannah Morning News and SavannahNow.com. You want to know the latest on the Savannah, on Georgia Southern's football team, I should say. Of course, they're making news even with the season over. High school football teams, we're down to Benedictine. They're playing Friday night against North Oconee in the GHSA Class 4A state semifinals at Memorial Stadium. So we have coverage of that leading up to the game, features and game coverage and photos. The Savannah State Athletics and other high school athletics as well in the Savannah Morning News and SavannahNow.com. And we also have more like news, features, and opinions, lots of opinions. So if you aren't a subscriber, now's a great time to try us out. You get full access to our digital content. I believe that the special through Thanksgiving was $1 for 6 months. That's $1 for 6 months. That's basically giving it away. We're basically paying you. That'll take you not only through football, the bowl season, but well into basketball and baseball. If the special is $1 a month for 6 months, it's still a bargain, $6. Go to SavannahNow.com/subscribe now and sign up. That's SavannahNow.com/subscribe now and give us a shot. Thanks for reading. And let's go back to Mike Brown, veteran reporter of all things Georgia Southern, and we'll talk about where they go from here. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Hey, I appreciate being here today.
So Clay Helton is the new head coach. He's been the head coach since November 2nd, but he's the head coach. The full handoff has gone on now, and he's the transition to the Clay Helton era became official, if you will, on Sunday. We're recording this on Tuesday. And the first step had to be, as far as what to do once the season ended, was what to do with the coaching staff. They need to know their futures. You want to know who's going to hold those coaching positions, especially with recruiting season in full. So they, Coach Helton, they didn't really roll out the announcement. They just kind of came out. Kevin Whitley, the interim coach, as you mentioned, who was the cornerbacks coach, he's going to be the only on-field coach. That's an important distinction. On-field coach brought back. They didn't say in what capacity. I'm not going to assume cornerbacks coach. It could very well be that's where he was an All-American, honorable mention All-American at Georgia Southern back in, I think it was 91 season. Kevin is 51 years old. He has, and this Mike Brown had brought this up early on, Mike, that Kevin has a long track record as a Georgia high school head coach, including basically the Atlanta area. So Kevin Whitley, for continuity's sake and for a local knowledge, that's an important hire, right? Or a important keeper, I should say.
Oh, I think so. First of all, Kevin was not only a high school coach in Metro Atlanta, he was a very successful high school coach. If anyone would look at what he did at Stockbridge, for example, his teams, man, they were 10, 11, 12 win type teams. So he has a lot of contacts. He's very, very respected among the high school coaches in Metro Atlanta. And let's face it, we've got a lot of great players in Georgia, but you can go to Atlanta and just recruit Atlanta and get what you need. But Kevin will be, I think, a tremendous asset. He'll be a good bridge or go between the new coaches coming in here. Probably none of them have coached in Georgia, and Georgia high school coaches. That relationship is just so critical.
Yeah, and this was a point brought up by some others as well, that he's a defensive coach and Clay Helton is an offensive coach. He was a offensive coordinator. He played quarterback in high school and at Houston under his dad Kim Helton and at Auburn. And then he was a running backs coach. Clay Helton, we should get into Coach Helton, the man, the person. He's an offensive guy. Jared Benko called him a offensive mastermind or genius, an elite. He called him an elite offensive mind. I should get that right. Elite offensive mind when he introduced him. A lot of pressure there. But, yeah, where Clay Helton has been a coach, an assistant coach, or the head coach at Southern Cal, their offenses have been strong, and they've had NFL talent along the way. So what is it that when you heard Clay Helton was going to be the next head coach of the Georgia Southern Eagles, what jumped out at you, Mike Brown?
Well, first of all, I thought, wait a minute, we're getting a guy from Southern Cal coming to Statesboro, Georgia. Culture shock. But he's also coached in the South. He grew up in the South. And he coached at Duke. He coached at Auburn. He played at Auburn. And he coached at Memphis. So you've got that. And then the next thing was, I thought, man, this is a great move on the part of Georgia Southern to get this guy, a man of this quality. And look, his record is great. Southern Cal is such a dysfunctional place. I don't look at him as a guy that failed at Southern Cal. But to get him locked up, and look at right now, there's schools like University of Washington, Washington State. A lot of these schools are now filling those holes.
Yeah, Washington filled theirs officially today.
Yeah, he would have been he'd have been on everyone's radar. And so we've got him locked up, and, it could be a 3 or 4 year deal type thing here if he's successful, which I believe he will be. And like Billy Napier at Louisiana, if he wants to get back into that pressure cooker at a Power Five school, I think in 3 or 4 years, the opportunities will be there. Mm-hmm. I just think it's a great hire for Georgia Southern, the name recognition, the credibility, and so forth.
Yeah. And it was almost like a feather in the cap of Georgia Southern. This might be a bit of a stretch. When Southern Cal replaces Clay Helton, first with an interim coach, but ultimately with Lincoln Riley, the Oklahoma coach. So yeah. Southern Cal was able to woo a highly successful coach at one of the best jobs in college football, Lincoln Riley. Now, I know they're a couple years from entering the SEC and people want to delve into that. But regardless, he's still the coach at Oklahoma. The Sooners recruit whoever they want. And for him to leave Oklahoma and go to Southern Cal, Los Angeles, for a lot of money, and the Pac-12 says, well, Southern Cal, well, it says on one hand, Southern Cal likes to make a big splash, the biggest splash, maybe, with LSU getting Brian Kelly, but they like to go, they think there's no barriers, there's nobody that's off limits that they're not going to at least try to get their tentacles on, if you will. And for Clay Helton to been the coach just says that is a high profile job that maybe people had forgotten about Southern Cal. You know, the Pac-12 plays at night, a lot of games at night, which on the East Coast is way into the night. People don't really see the games as much until bowl time. They might see the Pac-12 teams a lot more, but Clay Helton was a winning coach. He won a Pac-12 title. He won a Rose Bowl. He had a winning record. He beat top 25 teams with regularity. He produced recruiting classes, something Jared Benko, the athletic director, brought up. He produced top 10 recruiting classes. So you're like, why isn't that guy still there? He never won over. And Mike, you can know better than this. From my understanding, he never won over the whole Trojan nation, if you will. He was always had to prove himself. And you lose to Stanford once too often, you're not making the cut.
You know, Southern Cal, now they've had Lincoln Riley is their seventh coach in the last, since 2001, the last 20 years. Clay Helton was there 6 years. So he was there for a third of that time. But Southern Cal is one of those schools. They're in Los Angeles. They're Hollywood. They want a star. Mm-hmm. Okay. Clay Helton, and I don't really know anything about him. Never met him. Just saw him at a press conference. He strikes me as a everyday guy, a blue-collar guy, comes to work, does his job. Salt of the earth. He's not out here running around Hollywood movie stars in the society pages or whatever. It's Southern Cal, it's just a different place.
They're competing, if you want to say, for media attention, they're competing with a lot of other things, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Dodgers, the Angels, a lot, what have you. Pete Carroll was one of their former coaches. People know him, of course, highly successful at USC, but I believe when he came to USC, he had already coached in the NFL with the Jets and maybe the Patriots. Pete Carroll now with the Seahawks, of course, has won a Super Bowl with the Seahawks, maybe should have won two. I think that's a pretty good argument. I'm sure his own players feel that way. But Pete Carroll, highly successful, highly motivated. He's something out of Central Casting in a sense because he's very colorful, very passionate. John Robinson was there before him. He might have been from the coaching tree of John McKay. I'm not sure if that's correct. But for those of us who are of a certain age, know John McKay in first reference, not as somebody you look up in the history books or who's someone who gets quoted by Brian Kelly on TV. You can look that up, what that's about. But basically, John McKay was an institution. He made USC what it was, going way back. And then that whole USC versus UCLA and, you know, winning that rivalry, who's the best team in Los Angeles, but it's really about who's the best team in the country with USC, with playing Notre Dame and people like that regularly. So, yeah, Clay Helton. Born in Gainesville, Florida, grew up in Texas. His dad's a prominent name in coaching. Kim Helton, his brother's the coach at Western Kentucky. Clay's been the coach at Southern Cal as the head coach, has a couple of turns as the interim coach at Southern Cal, which makes me think he totally understood the awkwardness and the optics, if you will, when associating with Kevin Whitley and how to make that whole transition as smooth as possible.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, going back to Southern Cal, the John McKay. Now, a lot of people don't know this. John McKay's from West Virginia. Okay. I don't know John McKay. I'm from West Virginia. But my dad's younger brother and John McKay went to high schools in the same county. They played against one another in high school. John McKay goes in the Navy in World War II, comes back and goes to school at Oregon on the GI Bill, that type thing. But they were very quotable. The media loved them. And, you know, you and I, if we got a guy that is going to give us a good quote or whatever, it's going to be good for a story. The media loved them. And you know, to me, Clay Helton is not a guy that's going to give you a front page quote. I could be totally wrong. We'll find out. But
he had some good ones. Some good ones ready when at his press conference on November, that Thursday. He got hired on a Tuesday, had a press conference in Statesboro on Thursday. He was in town last night in Savannah, and he knows he had some catchphrases that he was ready with, but he also was very earnest and sincere. And he's, you know, he knows this business is not his first rodeo. He's been the head coach at Southern Cal. He understands large media gatherings. He understands booster gatherings. And he had to make a first impression, a good first impression. You would think he would want to do that. And he embraced the traditions of Georgia Southern. He from the live Eagle mascot to the yellow school buses to just shaking hands with Mr. and Mrs. Booster. He's like that. And from first impressions, obviously, he has not coached a game for Georgia Southern, but I think in terms of the X's and O's, of course, it was brought up about the option, and I wrote about this a few days ago. Even though the triple option hasn't been the go-to offense for Georgia Southern in a while, they've had elements of option, the modern option. The players that are here were brought in to run the option. most of them. I don't think Clay Helton has given any indication that the option is going to be a big part of the offense moving forward. He wants to be able to run and pass. He wants explosive plays. He wants to use the strengths of the team, which you would think is a physical running game, a really attacking defense, which depends on who he brings in as defensive coordinator in terms of the overall mindset there. But I think he's basically told everybody, I'm going to use the players at their best. I'm going to put them in positions to succeed, and that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to have dive plays over the tackles. We'll have some run pass option. We'll have some deep balls. We'll have some medium range. We'll have whatever works. The defense is going to be vulnerable in spots. We're going to take that, and I'm going to bring in the best talent I can, and we'll go from there. But he didn't promise I'm going to keep things. He didn't ignore the legacy. He did not ignore the history, the traditions. I think he quoted Irk Russell. He was very deferential or reverential to the past. But I think he's also living in the present and the future. So I think maybe the Georgia Southern Eagle Nation is ready for Clay Helton in 2022.
You know, speaking of Irk Russell, and I met Irk a couple of times when I first started covering the Eagles. He would come to practice. Great guy, great storyteller. And everyone, of course, associates the Georgia Southern and the option, that type thing. But if you look back, who holds all the passing records at Georgia Southern? Most career yards, Tracy Hamm.
Tracy Hamm. One of two players to have his number retired, Adrian Peterson being the other.
Yeah. Irk threw the football. It's when he hired Paul Johnson that the offense changed. And so the passes, it's not been a stranger to Georgia Southern. And speaking of Clay Helton, I'm still a member of the Football Writers Association of America. I have been probably 40 years now. But I think it was like 3, maybe 4 years ago, the Football Writers Association voted Clay Helton as the nicest coach in college football.
Wow.
And this guy, he's highly regarded by the media. It's just been a good guy. And I think he's a good coach. I think he's looked at as a good coach and as a good person. So he's going to be a great fit in Statesboro, Georgia.
Yeah, you know, I had all of us in the media who were at that first press conference on that Thursday afternoon were given the option if they wanted to talk a few minutes with Clay Helton. Of course, I said yes. So one of the things he said to me, and I'm not quoting word for word, but I did mention the part about being a nice guy. And of course, the last head coach, the last fully vested head coach, if you will, Chad Lunsford, I think we would all agree, is a nice guy, a man of faith, a family man, a football man, but a nice man as well, and competitive. I'm not saying so. Clay Helton said something to the effect of, "You can be a nice guy away from the field, but you're competitive on the field." He said, "I'm the son of an offensive line coach. There's toughness there. You have to be accountable." And I don't think when he's running his team through the paces in August heat that he's going to be healthy, you know, mindful of medical situations and all that. But I don't think they're going to think of him as Mr. Nice Guy necessarily, like, hey, guys, take the rest of the day off kind of guy. It's going to be a player's coach only to a point. I think he's mindful of from the optics of outside looking. Yeah, he's a nice guy. He is going to be. He thinks you should be courteous when you meet a booster or a fan or just any person in any walk of life. You should be respectful and courteous, and they should be the same back to you. But as far as coaching football, he said he's a tough guy.
Oh, I understand that totally. I look at Jeff Munkin. There's no nicer person off the field than Jeff Munkin. Boy, I saw his practices, and they could be kind of brutal and tough, demanding. But the thing is, those guys, their players love them because they know they're treated fairly. They're honest with them. And you know, they buy in. And so I just think it's just a win-win for Georgia Southern, and I think the recruiting will be there. They like I said, they've got some holes that need to be filled, obviously, but through recruiting and the fact he's been here since early on has helped from a recruiting standpoint. And a transfer portal, a guy like Clay Helton with his reputation and background, he will track some players that maybe Chad Lunsford wouldn't have. And yeah. And look, Chad Lunsford treated me great, you know, yeah. So I couldn't say anything negative about Chad Lunsford. It just didn't work out.
Yeah, I think, and he said that in some of the remarks that Coach Lunsford posted after he was fired, where he respected the decision. He understood he was the man for the time when he was the interim coach. He was the right choice to lead the team for that the next couple of years, and the record bears that out. 3 straight bowl games, a winning record last year, being competitive in every game, winning most of the games, 8-5. Didn't work out this year. He understood that. We actually are out of time, so I want to thank Mike Brown for being a guest once again on Georgia Southern Extra. We appreciate the listeners for listening all season, or if it's your first show, welcome to the show. We'll be back intermittently. We'll probably have a show following the National Signing Day in December. We'll kind of analyze the players that they brought in to back up Mike's point about the kind of players that Coach Clay Helton can bring in. Obviously, he's coached NFL level players, especially at running back in his offenses. He had great quarterback play. He's coached big time recruits, and we'll see what he can bring into Statesboro. I wish you happy holidays, everybody. Thanks, Mike, for coming on board once again, and I'll see you next time, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Adrian Peterson is taking care of things right now.
To Wesley Fields. Touchdown. Georgia Southern.
Pass swings on the way.